Let's see what the next couple of verses say. Now, after the man of God had finished eating. In other words, isn't that amazing? The man of God, it didn't even bother him. He's realized he's messed up. He's a dead man. So he don't stop eating and drinking. He just finishes his meal. I mean, I've already messed up now. It's over. Is that what he said, Kim? Isn't that amazing? I mean, so why stop eating now? I mean, I might as well enjoy my meal. It's just like having your final meal on prison's death row. Might as well sit there and eat it because you're fixing to die. You know, and that happens to lots of people. So the man of God, now after the man of God had finished eating and drinking, the prophet saddled his own donkey for him. I can just see him now saying, goodbye, see you later. Goes out and gets on the donkey. And the man of God, now the man of God didn't have a donkey. The prophet's the one who had the donkey. So he gave his donkey to the man of God so he could have a ride back home. And the man of God started off again. But as he was traveling along, a lion came out and killed him. You say, that was just a coincidence. No coincidence. This lion came from God because of this man's disobedience. Wow. A lion came out and killed him. His body lay there on the road with the donkey and the lion standing beside it. In other words, that ought to tell you something. How many times have you ever seen a lion kill somebody and then he don't eat? Or then there's a donkey standing right there and the lion don't kill the donkey and eat the donkey. Last time I checked, lions eat donkeys. You know, and so this lion now has just killed this man and he's just sitting there. Probably just laying down beside the man and the donkey. That ought to tell us something, right? That God sent the man and sent the lion to kill this man because of his disobedience. Now verse 25 says, and people came by and they saw the body lying in the road and the lion standing beside it. And they went and reported it in Bethel where the old prophet lived. And when the old prophet heard the report, he said, it is the man of God who disobeyed. What? He disobeyed the Lord's command. You know, when we disobey God, we never dream there can be a serious consequence, even like costing you your life. If we thought that if we disobeyed God, it was going to cost us our life, I would hope we'd had enough smarts to not do it, wouldn't you? But under our new covenant, what does Romans 6 say? Sin brings forth what? We don't believe that. We don't believe that. Do we, Kim? We really don't. I mean, here it is written, sin brings forth death. And we go out and we lie, we steal, we cheat, we commit adultery. We do everything in the church that God told us not to do. And then we wonder why all these devastating things come up on people. We never even think that it's sin. We just don't even think like that. You know, like I said yesterday, and I said this many times, just like that question I've been asking John 9:2, when the disciples said, Lord, who sinned that this man is born blind? Who sinned? They knew the curses and the blessings. Who sinned that this man is born blind? But you ask somebody today that's got a sick or a handicapped child or whatever, and, I mean, when's the last time somebody walked in with a child that had cerebral palsy and you said, who sinned? You or your parents that caused this child to be born with cerebral palsy. You ever heard that? No, you won't hear it either. They ain't going to say it. But did the disciples back there, did they want to know who sinned that this man's born blind? Why did they ask that question? Because they understood the curses and the blessings. They understood that God said, if you obey me, I'll bless your children. They understood that if you don't obey me, I will curse your children. And of course, one of the curses is blindness in Deuteronomy 28:28. So if that's one of them and you got a blind child, then somebody says, well, who sinned? Him or his parents that he's born blind? Well, if he was born blind, it couldn't be his sin. It'd have to be the parents or the grandparents or the great-grandparents or the great-great-grandparents. Because four generations back, unless there is a sexual sin, like that young man that was back there yesterday, when he got a hold of the blessings and got a hold of the deliverance from the curse by being redeemed from the curse, he said when he asked God what caused that, he said God immediately showed him back in his generation, back all the way to when his black relatives were slaves and how the women had been raped by different people, white men, black men, and everything else, and how there were so many children born out of wedlock. And he said, and he took him back hundreds of years. If any of you were here yesterday, you might have heard him give that testimony himself. You heard him say that, didn't you? Yes. And so he said, that's your problem. That's why you got your hole in your heart. But now then that I showed him how to be redeemed from the curse, man, he was ecstatic. I've got it. He said, it's mine today. I am redeemed from that curse. I'm claiming that. And Pat prayed for him, and he knew he was healed when she prayed for him. And that God is good. I'm glad we're living on this side of the cross. Because if we're living on the other side of the cross back yonder, there was no redemption from the curse. You're just going to live with it the rest of your life, and it might not be long. That's a good part about God. It says, it is the man of God who disobeyed the Lord's command, and it cost him his life. The Lord has fulfilled his word by causing the lion to attack and kill him. Who caused the lion to attack him and kill him? I mean, but God, don't y'all know that God's a loving, sweet God? He would never do nothing like this. What's wrong with you people? Are y'all all crazy? Oh, you read the book too, huh, Kim? But I mean, I've been called crazy and foolish and stupid when I say these kind of things, and it comes right out of God's word. I mean, God's the one who said it. I mean, just like in Norway, on the front page. Scrivener says sin and sickness are directly related. Scrivener says that if you don't sin, you can live with no sickness. The Bible said it. I thought to myself, they don't even know they're quoting God's word right on the front page of their newspaper. Yeah, Scrivener said that, but guess where Scrivener got it? Same place I got that right there when it says, and the Lord sent the lion to kill you because of your disobedience. I mean, is that what it says? So who sent the lion to kill the disobedient prophet? God. Who's going to send something? When we talk about lions, see, he's showing us in his word these physical things of lions. Today, under the new covenant, we got a spiritual being called a lion. A spiritual being. Lions, dragons, you know, all kinds of wicked things they call these serpents. Scorpions, these adders, these are spiritual beings, which are demons, that when you and I disobey God today, instead of sending a physical lion to kill you, he sends a spiritual being to afflict you and make you sick, and if you don't repent, it eventually will kill you. There's no difference. Under the old covenant, he showed us physically how these things work. Under the new covenant, it's a spiritual thing, and you can't see these beings. So when that lion comes to attack you because of your disobedience, you can't see him coming out of the brush. Now, the only difference between us and this prophet could see this physical lion coming. Don't you think that he already knew that God was going to kill him somehow? Yeah, he knew it. He had disobeyed God. That's why he wasn't even concerned. He just went ahead and finished his last meal. He didn't realize it was probably his last one, but he knew it wasn't going to be very many from the last, but it happened to be his last one. When the old prophet heard the report, he said, it is the man of God who disobeyed the Lord's command. The Lord has fulfilled his word by causing the lion to attack and kill him. Next two verses. Then the prophet said to his sons, saddle a donkey for me. So they saddled a donkey. And he went out and found the body lying in the road. The donkey and the lion were still standing there beside it, for the lion had not eaten the body nor attacked the donkey. Now, who in the world can be in charge that can keep a lion from eating a man and a donkey? Only God. Who is in control of the lions? God. Who is it that controls where every one of them live? Every time a lion kills a gazelle or whatever, God's in control, isn't he? He's running the show. And he's in control of everything. And we need to understand that. And the next two verses. So the prophet laid the body of the man of God on the donkey and took it back to the city to mourn over him and bury him. I wonder why that old prophet wasn't afraid of that lion. He knew who was in control of that lion, didn't he? He probably went right over there and there's a lion laying right there. He might have even looked up at him, maybe growled a little bit. But he just went ahead and got the old man's body and took it and put it on his donkey and left. And the lion just walked off in the bush. That lion was being controlled by the Lord. I mean, as we saw, he laid his body in his own grave, crying out in grief, "Oh, my brother," verse 31, 32. Afterwards, the prophet said to his sons, "When I die, bury me in the grave where the man of God is buried. I can't think of a better place in the world to have your body laid than next to a man of God. Can you?" Wow. But under the new covenant, if you're laid on anybody other than the body of Jesus Christ, it ain't going to help you a bit. You know that? You can be buried right on the top of a man of God and still die, and still when you've died and you go to hell. Do you know that? I don't want to go to hell, do you? I got my ticket bought, haven't you, Bill? I mean, he paid for it. I just went and got it. It's a free gift. I picked it up. And so I've got it, and I'm going to heaven. You know, there's a sad thing that people don't understand. There is a judgment called the Great White Throne. It's going to be at the end of the age. But right now, when that judgment takes place, it says there will be hell will be opened, which is the lake of fire. Do you know right now the place that we go to in the center of the earth when we die, if you're not a Christian, is not hell. It's just Gehenna, the place of the dead. It's got hot. It's terrible. There's people screaming down there. It's an awful place, and nobody would ever want to go to this awful place. But if you die without Jesus, you're going to go there in this place, which you think couldn't be no worse. In fact, I heard David Weiss give his testimony again the other night on one of the... Did you see that? Bill Weiss, yeah. I heard Bill give his testimony about how God had sent him to hell, and it was awful. I mean, it was awful. I mean, you know, in fact, it was years before he'd even tell people about it. It was awful, so awful. But I don't know if people realize that place he was called the place of the dead. It's a holding tank of hot heat, I mean, wickedness, everything. And the presence of God is not there. But at the end of the age, God will bring all those people out of there, and they'll stand before him at the great white throne. And then if their names are not written in the book of life, which none of them will be,
we are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled Man of God, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.